chapter 15. Malachim Bed, chapter 15.
Just one moment.
Chapter 15. Bishnat Esrim B'Sheva Shono L'Yerovam Melech Yisrael Malach Azariah Ben Amatziah Melech Yehuda. No, I'm going to make sure that you know that you're going to know the names. By the time I think this year is over, you're going to know the names. I will just remind you. Yerovam is Yerovam. Yerovam, the son of Yoash. Yerovam, the son of Yoash, the son of Ahaziahu, the son of Yehu. We're talking about a king of Israel. Yerovam ben Yoash, you will remember, is the one about whom we were told at the end of the chapter before that he was exceptionally successful in the field of battle. He brought back all of the ancestral lands that had been the possession of Klal Yisrael. He recaptured them from Aram, that all the way till Damascus. And remember the great prophecy of Yonah ben Amittai Hanavi. It was Yonah ben Amittai who said that because God saw how pained and persecuted and bleeding Klal Yisrael were, and there was nobody to come to their aid and assistance, and God had never intended to erase the name of the Jewish people from the face of this earth, therefore he saved them through Yerovam ben Yoash. So we went through that a number of times already, that here is established a principle that we'll find in other places in Torah, that God chooses whom he sees fit should be the savior of the Jewish people. He may not be as Shinaid as we would want, you understand? But the Rabbeinu Shalom is going to use the one who can do the job. And it also depends on, as they would say over here, it depends on the ituri, the timing. Klal Yisrael is in need of a Yeshua. The Rabbeinu Shalom is going to bring the Yeshua. In the times of Yerovam and Yoash, the Jewish people were in desperate straits. And then Yerovam ben Yoash, who himself did evil in the eyes of God, is the one who becomes God's instrument of the great salvation of the Jewish people. Yerovam ben Yoash ben Ahazio is the third generation of the house of Yehu, after Yehu. Yehu is the one who had assassinated, and we better remember this, he was the one who assassinated, that's the right word. I mean, not a dirty word. I mean, sometimes assassination is a dirty word, but here we're talking about the assassination of Yehoram, the son of Ahav. Yehu had been commander-in-chief of the forces of Israel when they were doing battle with Gilad. And then this strange fellow comes walking in, and by the way, this is also terribly important, this strange prophet. Who is this strange prophet that anoints Yehu? That's Yonah ben Amittai. And remember that that took place while Yehu was commander-in-chief of the forces of Israel at Gilad, on the other side of the Jordan. That's all going to be terribly important. We're now three kings later. So, Vishnas Esri V'Sher Hashana L'Yerovam Melech Yisrael. How many years is, How many years is Yerovam? How many years is Yerovam king of, 41.
That's all, I'm not
so far. He's king for 41 years. Come on, maybe, Yerovam is king for 41 years. He's a Rasha, but he's king for 41 years. That's a long time. And especially as we're going to see what's going to happen to the king of Israel, the kings of Israel now, 41 years is a lifetime. They're not going to last terribly long from here on in and further. So in the 27th year of Yerovam, king of Israel, Azariah ben Amatziah becomes king of Yehuda. We're managed. The class is growing by leaps and bounds every minute. I'm so thrilled. I thought everybody went away on the trip. Ben Sheish Esrei Shonah Yom Malcho V'Chamishim U'Shtayim Shonah Molach B'Yerushalayim. We're talking now about Azariah, the son of Amatziah, now becomes king of Yehuda. He is, at this point, he is the king who rules longer than everybody else before him. 52 years, there's going to be one king of Yehuda that's going to rule for even more than him, and that's going to be Menashe, 55 years. Azariah, by the way, I don't think Azariah is going to be called Azariah much more. Here he's going to be called Azariahu later, but he is also known in Sefer Yeshayahu, and in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, he is Uziyahu. We're going to talk about that. An unusual and an exceptional career that is going to be summed up in a matter of a few psukim over here in Malachim, and later on in the parak, I'm going to take you to Divrei Hayamim. I believe neither. We're going to take you to Divrei Hayamim to see the full story. Anyway, Ben Sheish Esrei Shonah Yom Malcha, he was 16 years old when he became king. The Chamishim Ushtayim Shonah Malach Yerushalayim, 52 years he ruled in Yerushalayim. V'shem Imo Yechol Yohu Mi Yerushalayim. His mother's name was Yechol Yohu, who was from Yerushalayim. Yechol Yohu has a number of meanings according to the Mepharshim. Yechol Yohu can mean, reading it backwards, Hashem Yachol. God is capable of everything. Yachol can also come from the word, you can read it, Yachol Hashem, the Rebbe Hashem can, he's capable of everything. It also comes from the word Lichalkel. God sustains everybody. Vayas HaYosha Beini Hashem, Kechol Asher Osa Amatzia Oviv, he did that which was Yosha in the eyes of God, just as his father Amatzia did. Rak Havamot Lo Saru, the high places still were not removed. Od Ha'am Nizatchim Mekatrim Davamot, the people were still sacrificing and bringing incense upon private altars, even though the Bet HaMikdash had already been built. Vayinarga Hashem et HaMelech, this is the Melech, the king that did that which was right in the eyes of God. All that the pasuk says is that God struck the king. Vayihi Mitzorah Yom Moso, he was a Mitzorah. He was struck down with tzarat. He was a mitzvah until the day of his death. Vayeshev beveit hachofshit, he lived the last 25 years of his life in a house that was called Bet HaChofshit. Chofshit coming from, well, free. Liyotam chofshi. Didn't somebody want me to sing? Did somebody say before I should sing? Yeah, you? Okay. I'll listen to you. Yeah. The Beit HaChofshit, and as a Mitzorah, he had to be separated and removed from society. But he was 25 years until the day of his death, he was a Mitzorah. Which of course is going to raise the problem. You know, a Mitzorah goes through a certain process and then is healed and brings Kabbalahs. A king about whom it says that he did, HaYosher Ve'eni Hashem, was a Mitzorah 25 years of his life. You understand? At first you're told that he's king for 52 years, longer than anybody else. Of the 52 years already, nearly half of them, he is a Mitzorah, and he's living out in this Beit HaChofshit. So they say that it was outside of the outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Why is it called Beit HaChofshit? There are those who say that it means he was free of the responsibilities of
retired.
Yes, retired. Forced retirement. He was free of the responsibilities that weighed heavily upon a king. The Gemara says, or there's another chapter, the Gemara says that a Mitzori is like a dead person. Talk me out. Oh, you also are cheating. A Mitzora is considered dead, and the Gemara says about the Bamesim Chofshi, the dead are free of mitzvahs. Chazal say that he built his house on a cemetery, right outside Yerushalayim, not far from Ein Rogel. That's where he...
But if he was Yerushalayim, if he was Melech Yisrael, what was he doing in Yerushalayim?
No, he's not Melech Yisrael. He's Melech Yehuda. Melech Yehuda. We're talking about Azariyahu, who's Uziyahu, Ben Amatziyahu. Vayinaga Hashem et HaMelech Pasuk Hei, Vayinaga Hashem et HaMelech Vayi Mitzorah, he was a Mitzorah Ad Yom Moto, Vayeshev Bebeit HaChoshit, Vyotam Ben HaMelech, Yotam, who was the son of the king, Al Habayit was in charge of the house. That means for 25 years there was a regent who was ruling in his place, and it may very well have been that from his Bet HaChoshit he ran the government. So to speak, Derry can sit on Rechov HaKavlan and he can run the government from Rechov HaKavlan. He doesn't have to be sitting in the Prime Minister's residence. Without that, he can be sitting in jail and run the government. The king was the Bet HaChofshit 25 years. And Yotam, the son of the Melech, Shofeta et Am Haaretz, he was the one who ruled over the people of the land. The Yeta Divrei Azaryon Gechol Asher Osa, and the rest of the things of Azaryon, and all that he did, Halo in Ketubim, Al Sefer Divrei Ayom Lamalach Yehuda, it's written in the book of Chronicles of the Kings of Yehuda. Yishtah Azaryon Mavotav, Vayigbiru Oto Im Avotav, V'yir David, he was buried with his fathers in the city of David, Vayimloch Yotam Benot Tachtav, and his son Yotam, who had been the regent during a good number of the years, he was the one who took over the kingdom. What is going to begin now is there's going to begin a relationship that we're not going to see yet. It's going to take a little while until we're going to see it. The figure who rises now to greatness is Yeshayahu. The Navi is Yeshayahu. And the beginning in the days of Uziyahu, in the sixth chapter of Yeshayahu, it says, Vayihi Bishnat, and it came to pass in the year of the death of Uziyahu. Let me look it up to make sure that I'm right. Chapter 6 of Yeshayahu is really the beginning of Yeshayahu's the beginning of his prophecy. Bishnat Mot HaMelech Uziyahu, in the year of the death of King Uziyahu, Vo'eret Hashem Yoshev Al Kisei Nom V'Nisa, there's a great vision. There is a great vision that is seen by Yeshayahu, and God asks, who is it that I will send and who will go to the Jewish people? And it is Yeshayahu who says that he will go. Now the first pasuk in Yeshayahu says, Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amoz, the vision of Yeshayahu the son of Amoz, remember his father's name, that will be important in a minute. The vision of Yeshayahu the son of Amoz, Asher Chosa al Yehuda v'Yerushalayim, who saw prophecy about Yehuda and Yerushalayim in the days of Uziyahu, Yotam, Achaz, Yechizkiyahu, Malchei Yehuda. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute, if he is a prophet in the days of Uziyahu, how could chapter 6 say that prophecy first came to him in the year of the death of Uziyahu? Says the Gemara, when it says in chapter 6 of Isaiah, in the year of the death of Uziyahu, it means the day on which he was struck with leprosy. That's what it really means. So there's still another 25 years that he's going to continue living, and he's going to be in his house outside Yerushalayim. So during the 25 years of Uziyahu, and then Yotam, Achaz, Yechizkiyahu, he says prophecy. In chapter 6 of Yeshayahu, it says that when God appears to him, it seems as though the whole country is shaking, literally shaking. And we're going to see soon in the description of the day on which Uziyahu was struck down, there was an earthquake that shook Eretz Yisrael. This was a divinely inspired earthquake. And even to some point it seems... What other kind is there? What other kind is there? Well, let's say that this was brought as an act of God at this particular moment, at a very, very special moment. Yeshayahu is Yeshayahu ben Amoz. Who is the father of Uzziyahu or Azariyahu? Who's his father? Who's been king before him? Amatsyahu. Amatsyahu, the Gemara says, Amoz and Amatsyahu were brothers. I don't know what their father called them, you know. Could have gotten them easily confused, but Amoz and Amatsyahu were brothers, which means, of course, that Uzziyahu and Yeshayahu are cousins.
Would they be the same person, though?
Well, I can only quote what the, you know, you peek over there, I peek into Chazal. Chazal say, Amoz va'amatsyahu achim hayu. Amoz. Listen, if Yeshayahu, if they would be the same person, Yeshayahu should be king. He was, Amoz and Amatsyahu were brothers, and if Amoz and Amatsyahu are brothers, then Yeshayahu and Uzziyahu are cousins. All right, I'm going to go, yes?
I'm still very puzzled as to why Uzziyahu...
I was going to say that. Okay. I was going to tell you that, but before, we're going to have to learn a chapter in Divrei Hayamim, which is going to tell us the whole story. In other words, Uzziyahu, or Azariah, is a prime example of somebody about whom very, very little. The truth is, except for one sentence, nothing is said about him in Malachim. And he is going to be described at great length in Divrei Hayamim. He's one of the outstanding examples. One sentence which naturally raises the question that you asked. Why did it happen? And nobody in Malachim bothers even to tell us about it. Without learning Divrei Hayamim, we would be lost. The question, of course, is, and this is the question that we're going to have to ask often, why does Malachim treat him so briefly? And why does Divrei Hayamim treat him at great length? There are other questions of this sort that are ultimately going to lead up to our understanding of what is the purpose of Malachim and what is the purpose of Divrei Hayamim. For example, we must have learned, 10 chapters about Elisha? The miracles of Elisha don't appear in Divrei Hayamim. There are chapter after chapter about Elio. Don't appear in Malachim. Yehoshaphat, who was king of Judah, one of the great kings of Yehuda. 4 full chapters in Divrei Hayamim. And he's really, in Prakim that we learned at the beginning of this year, he's really an adjunct. Sort of, they tell us about Yehoshaphat. Once they're telling us about Ahav, king of Israel, and Yehoshaphat is king of Yehuda at the time, and Yehoshaphat goes side by side out with Ahav to war. So they tell us about Yehoshaphat too. And in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, 4 full chapters. So what I want to do now is just go a little further and just show you what's happening with Yisrael, and then we're going to learn the chapter in Divrei Hayamim. Because Bishnat Shloshim Yishmar Shana Lazariah Melech Yehuda. In the 38th year of Azariah, king of Judah, how many years is he going to be king? 52. Told me out.
Very good.
Now you see what's interesting? Even though he is Mitzorah for 25 years, the 38th year is still called the year of the reign of Azariah. He continues to reign though he is a Mitzorah. Bishnah Shloshim Mishmar Shon in the 38th year of Azariah, Melech Yehuda, Molach Zechariahu. Ben Yerovam al Yisrael Bishomron Shisha Hadashim Zechariah the son of Yerovam. Yerovam was the son of Yoash. Yoash was the son of Achaziahu. Achaziahu was the son of Yehu. And the Navi had told Yehu that you will have 4 generations sitting on the throne. The 4 generations therefore are after Yehu: Achaziahu, Yehoash, Yeravam, and now Zechariahu. Zechariahu rules for only 6 months.
He did that. I'm going to say it so often, you're going to be able to say the list of the kings of Israel and the kings of Yehuda in your sleep. And I think that that's the best way to do it. If I start giving you lists, so you'd assume that you can always look at the list. Never works. Torah Sheva'al Peh. You have to hear it.
He did that which was evil in the eyes of God, as his fathers had done. Lo sarni chatat Yeravam ben Nevat. He did not turn away from the sins of Yeravam ben Nevat, asher hechati et Yisrael, who had caused Israel to sin. Vayitshor olav Shalom ben Yavesh.
There was a conspiracy against him. Who headed the conspiracy? Shalom ben Yavesh. And now there are those who say that Shalom is also another way of the name Shalom. So instead, you see, Shalom is the great assassinator. Yeah, that's a real ugly use of the word Shalom. Shalom ben Yavesh. Now, what's interesting is ben Yavesh may very well mean that he comes from a place called Yavesh Gilad. Yavesh Gilad. Do you know what Yavesh Gilad, why that's terribly important? Yavesh Gilad is on the other side of the Jordan. It's someplace around the neighborhood of Mechola Beit She'an on the other side of the Jordan. There is the divine justice. Four kings earlier, Yehu had been anointed by Yonah ben Amittai to take over the kingdom and to kill Yehoram, the son of Ahab. Where did it all begin? Gilad. Kesher Gilad. Conspiracy in Gilad. And four generations later, his family is going to end by a conspiracy that comes from Gilad. And of all things, a man who comes sort of speaking in the name of peace, Shalom ben Yavesh. Vayakehu kavol am. He struck him down, kavol am, in the presence of the people, in the front of the people. This was not something that was done in stealthily, in hiding. Shalom ben Yavesh struck down the king, vayimloch tato, and he ruled in his place. The rest of the things of Zechariah, by the way, this pasuk seems to indicate that though Zechariah was a Rosha, the one with whom the house of Yehu ends, there was something good about him. How much could a man have done in 6 months?
How much good or how much bad?
Either or. I didn't say either or, right. And the pasuk says, "V'yeter divrei Zechariah." That means that those 6 months were not 6 months of grace, like give me a chance until I get my government together and we start. He was a man of action, just as his father before him was a man of action. Not a tzaddik, a rosha, but a man who did. V'yeter divrei Zechariah hinam ktuvim al sefer divrei yom malchim yisrael. Hu dvar Hashem asher diber el Yehu leimor. That was the word of God that he had said to Yehu. Eliyahu had said it to Yehu. He told him, "B'nei Revi'im Yeshvu Lecha Kisei Yisrael." Four generations, or four sons, will sit upon the throne of Israel. Vayihichen, it was so. The word of God through the prophet was fulfilled. All right. Let's at least see what happens with assassins. Don't they say those who live by the sword die by the sword? Alright? By the way, it's not always true, but alright, that's separate. Shalom ben Yavesh, Pasuk 13, yes.
Sarah's not here, I'll ask you, what's the difference between selling
and
shalom?
I know. I was hoping you wouldn't notice. You just wanted me to make you believe she's here. Yes. I don't know. You know how I usually work. When I know the answer, then I ask the question and I make a big deal of what a great question it is. But when I don't know why they switch,
And on the contrary, over here, his name is written out in full. It's being written out in full. I don't know. You know, I'm saying, I don't know.
Sorry, I asked.
No, it's not. There has to be a reason. There has to be a reason. Shalom ben Yabesh in Pasuk 12, is it not? In Pasuk 10, it's spelled Shin Lamed Mem. But of course, I can always feel good about this. They never spell my name right. It's Sholom. Now, most of the invitations that have been gone out from all the various organizations have me as Shalom. So you have a catch there too.
Yeah,
so this poor
English.
Yeah. 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 So this poor guy also they didn't get his name right. Huh? And the other, do you see what she noticed? The Yavesh is spelled without a Yud, and here it's spelled with a Yud.
No, I haven't with a Yud in both places.
You haven't with a Yud in both places?
Second Yud.
No, look carefully.
One Yud in both places.
One Yud in both places? We have two. What do you have? What are you talking about? I have in my Tanakh one Yud.
Two Yud.
I've got 14.
Two Yud.
No, I only have one Yud. I've got 14.
13.
14.
Yud bet yud shin.
No,
yud bet shin. Yeah. Oh,
14 is
shin. Oh, God, this is so confusing.
Yeah, in
14,
and 13, I have
used it. All right, okay, good. No, we'll have to talk about it. All right, let me just go through a few. I'm looking over here. What? Refers back to Yerovam for two reasons. Number one, because he was the one that initiated this great act of rebellion and causing Israel to sin. And there were two ways in which he caused Israel to sin. One was the fact that he set up golden calves in Dan and in Beit El, and the second that he set up the checkpoints on the roads. You couldn't travel to Yerushalayim for hundreds of years. Unbelievable. And therefore, a king took his place in Israel by, regardless of even the best kings. Yehu, for example, who was one of the best. But Chatot Yerovam and Nevat, they continued to sin.
He couldn't travel because
he was afraid people would go to Yerushalayim and they would see the glory and the majesty and the greatness, the regal bearing of the kings of Yehuda, and they would therefore lose their allegiance to him. Anyway, Shalom ben Yavesh Malach. Bishnach 39th Shalom Uziyah Melech Yehuda. Shalom ben Yavesh became king in the 39th year of Uziyah, the king of Yehuda. And of course, Vayimloch Yerach Yomim Bishomra. He ruled for 1 month. So the Gan says Shalom ben Yavesh, you understand, who most probably people were yelling Yechi HaMelech. And his great rise to power, the courage of assassinating the king publicly. So those who live by the sword, as the next passage says, Vayyar Menachem ben Gadi, Me Tirza. Menachem ben Gadi came from Tirza, Vayavo Shomron, Vayachet Shalom ben Yavesh Bishomron. He struck down Shalom ben Yavesh, Vayimiteu, he killed him, Vayimlov Tachtov. What we're beginning to watch now is the process of the disintegration of the kingdom of Israel.
Anyhow, in 14, Yavesh is spelled Yom to you.
Oh, finally you're caught up with us. Finally your Tanakh has Yavesh with two Yuds. I'm just thinking in terms of the... It means that when his name is mentioned at the end, there's a Vav and a Yud that are added. A Vav in Shalom, and a Yud in Yavesh. All right, listen, I say I'll look for it. I don't have all the answers. I have most of the answers, not all the answers. V'yesed divrei Shalom, and the rest of the things of Shalom, v'kishno asher kasha. That means he did a great deal in 1 month. V'kishno asher kasha, the conspiracy that he made, hinam tzum al-sefer divrei Yom Malchus Yisrael, are written in the books of Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. Oz Yaakov Menachem is Tifsach Bet Kol Hashava Bet Gvulela Mitirza Kilopatach Vayach Eit Kol Herotel Bikea. All right, Menachem Ben Gadi is a very cruel man. We're going to talk about Menachem Ben Gadi later, but what I want to do now is we still owe you Azar Yahu Uziyahu. The story of Uziyahu appears in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, chapter 26.
Bet.
We've long passed out of Aleph. For that matter, there's nothing that we've learned in the last 2 years that appeared in Aleph. And if somebody wants, I can... Here's another Tanakh in here.
The Vayikru.
Vayikru. Maybe we'll begin at the end of 25 pasuk. Chapter 25 pasuk 25. Chafhei, chafhei. What does that sound like? The Chumash yesterday was starting Pasha Chafhei of Vayikra Pasuk Chafhei. We're going to do Perek Chafhei, Pasuk Chafhei. Vayichi Amatziahu ben Yoash Melech Yehuda Acharei Mot Yoash ben Yehoachaz Melech Yisrael 15 Shana. Amatziahu, the son of Yoash, king of Yehuda, lived after the death of Yoash ben Yehoachaz, king of Israel. Who was Yehoachaz's father? No. Yoash ben Yehoachaz Yehu. Now, who is going to be the son of Yoash? Who will be the son of Yoash? Yerobam ben Yoash. You're right, yes. Shkoyach. Yerobam ben Yoash ben Yehoachaz or Achazyahu ben Yehu. I'm talking about the kings of Israel now. That's exactly what I want you to understand. That's exactly what I'm doing. If I have to break down and make up a list for you, you know, like a first grade.
We have seen your moments.
We have seen your moments. My wife will explain to you. You know. Now you see, in that passage you already see where part of the confusion comes. Because Amatziahu was the son of Yoash, king of Yehuda. But there was also a Yoash who was king of Israel. The rest of the things of Amatziahu, Harishonim, Achronim, the earlier the latter ones, Halok, Hinam, Ketuvim, Al-Sefer, Malchi, Yehuda, Yisrael, that's written in the book of the kings of Yehuda, Yisrael. Umeyeit asher sora matzio meyacharei Hashem vayikshru alav kesher b'Yerushalayim vayonis lochishim. You should remember that the last 15 years of his life, Amatzio, king of Yehuda, was in Lachish. He was off in exile. Vayishluch acharav lochisha vayimidu shama. They put him to death over there. What was Amatzio's great failing? Amatzio's great failing is that which is recorded both in Malachim and in Divrei Hayamim, except that it is recorded in Divrei Hayamim at greater length than it is in Malachim. Amatzio had gone out to war against Edom because Edom had begun terrorist activity against Israel, and he struck them down. He beat them in battle. Not only that, he captured Petra. He captured Petra. After he returns victorious from the battle with Edom, so he sends a message to Yoash, the king of Yisrael, Nitra'e Panim. Let's meet face to face. What does he mean by saying, let's meet face to face? Let's have a fight. Because now that he has been victorious over Edom, he feels that he has become a mighty military power. And he's ready to take on Yisrael. Why does he want to take on Yisrael? Because the different kings of Yehuda sought different ways and means by which to bring the two together. So Yehoshaphat and Yehoram married into the families of Ahav and Omri. Yehoash already decides that he's, Amatzio decides that he is going to unite the two by conquest, by force. I mean, many other countries went through all of this. And what was the struggle? I remember as a little boy learning in history the unification of Italy, the unification of Germany, all of these countries. And then, of course, in this century, they'll talk about the disintegration of Yugoslavia, the disintegration of Zaire, the Soviet Union. There were times of unity and times of disintegration of that unity. Amatzyahu is the one who wants to bring Yehuda and Yisrael together by conquest. So the famous letter of Yoash, king of Yisrael, to Amatzyahu, king of Yehuda, that should go down in history is one of the great, you know, I always am fond of quoting the American general, the American general at the Battle of the Bulge, when American and Canadian and English forces were surrounded by the Germans and were getting zerschmettert, and the commander of the German forces sent a message asking for unconditional surrender, and the great American answered, "Nuts to you." So, it wasn't Patton. It was not Patton. Well, who was it? General McNutt? What was the great message? I mean, I'm only doing this in order to review. What was the great message that was sent by Yoash ben Amatzyahu? He tells him the story about a shidduch. The shidduch, that the thorn, the thistle of the field wants sich mishadach tzan with the cedar of Lebanon. And while they're talking a shidduch, you understand, this is a shidduch. The beasts of the field trample the thistle, and it's oish shidduch. So he sends a message to him, he kaveh v'sheiv v'beitecha. You want your honor? Stay home. Don't go looking for trouble. Because if you're going to go looking for trouble, you're going to be struck down. Which is exactly what happens. He goes looking for trouble, and he has become, puffed up. Yes, that's what I wanted to use. He's become puffed up because of his victory against Edom. All right, so then he has to flee, because what really happens is the precise opposite happens. There's a period of time during which Yisrael comes in and they become really the ruling force in Yehuda. Anyway, after 15 years in exile in Lachish, he's put to death over there by Yisrael al-Susim. They carried him on horses by Yigbiru also by Yisrael by Yehuda, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of Yehuda. Chapter 26. By Yikru Kolam Yehuda et Uziyahu, all of the people took Uziyo, who was 16 years old, they made him king in place of his father Amatzio. This, of course, is something for which we will always be grateful to him. He built Eilat. Even though it's written Eilat over here, yes. By Yeshiveho Yehuda, he brought Eilat back to Yehuda, because that had also been taken by Seir, Edom, down there in the south. After the king died, he brought back Eilat. Remember, this is the same Azariyahu that we're talking about in Malachim. He's not referred to as Azariyahu in Malachim. In Devarim, he is throughout Uziyahu. He was Uziyahu was 16 years old. V'chamishim yishtayim shana malav Yerushalayim v'shem imay Yecholyahu. He did that which was right in the eyes of God, just as his father Amatzyahu did. He sought out God. He sought out God in the days of Zechariahu. I maybe spoke a little too quickly. According to Rashi, this Zechariahu that we're talking about is Uziyahu. And they're telling us about this Uziyahu, he was Mevin Berot Elokim. He understood. He understood what seeing or communicating with God was. He was a great tzaddik. And his great tzidkus is precisely that which is going to bring him to his to his downfall. In a sense, what's going to happen to Uzziyahu hyphen Zechariahu is what happened to his father Amatsyahu before him. Amatsyahu's victory on the field of battle is that which led him to believe that he can do things that were really beyond his ability. I think today we would call it the Peter principle. He reached the point of his diminishing returns, but in the Peter, I read the Peter principle what, 25 years ago? At the point of his incompetence. I think that's it. You just rise and rise to the point. Every person has to know their own limitations. Amatsyahu did not know his limitations. He thought because he had been successful on the field of battle against Edom, he would be able to do the same against Israel. That's the terrible mistake.
But isn't it also the fact that his victory over Edom was, I mean, he had to give God credit for it.
That's also true.
And he gave himself credit for it.
And not only that, it's because he listened to the Navi. You will recall, I think I told you the story as it appears in Divrei Hayamim, that he had hired some 100,000 men of Israel to fight side by side with him against Edom. And the Navi comes and tells him, you should know that God is with you and not with Israel. Send those 100,000 men back. And he already paid 100 bars of gold. He could ask for the money back. So the Navi told him, God can, just as God gave you the money before, he can give it to you again. And Amatsyahu listened to the Navi. He sent the 100,000 men home. He carried the loss of the 100 kikar kesef. He was victorious in battle because he listened to the Navi. And the moment that he goes out on his own, he's already going to be lost. Uzziyahu is a great tzaddik. But this great tzaddik is going to go one step too far. You know, if we're talking about already the Battle of the Bulge, you know, one bridge too far. He goes one step too far. And just as his father went a step too far in terms of his what he thought to be his military prowess, his son is going to go one step too far in his spiritual prowess. Now listen to the story. So the end of Pasuk 5 was Ubimei Dorsho et Hashem Yitzlicho Elikim. When he sought out God and did things only with God's permission, then God gave him Atzlacha. The moment he went out on his own, he falters and he falls and he's struck down. Vayetzeh vayilachit aplishtim. Listen to the things. This is in Uzziyahu. He is going to be successful. Vayetzeh. He went out and he went to war with the Pelishtim. He breached, he broke the walls of Gat, that Chomat Yavna, and the walls of Yavna, that Chomat Ashdod, and the walls of Ashdod. All of those places were part of Eretz Pelishtim. I mean, we know exactly where they are, the southern part of Yehuda, and along the coast, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Yavna, Gat, all of these are part of Pelishtim. Vayivne Odim, and he built cities, Ashdod, and Pelishtim. He built Jewish cities. He went ahead and he built settlements, and more than settlements. Vayazreihu ha'elokim. Isn't that a nice... And against the Arabs who live, Begur Baal, the Ha'me'unim. And there was a people called the Me'unim. They could be the Ammonim. They're going to be Ammonim in the next passage. Difficult to define precisely or... which people this was. They gave a gift, they brought tribute to Uzziyahu. His name went all the way to Egypt because he had become very mighty. Uzziyahu built towers in Yerushalayim, Al Shar HaPina, Baal Shar HaGai, Baal HaMikzoa, Vayichaskein, these are different parts of the walls of Yerushalayim. Vayiven Migdolim, Bamidbar, he built towers and fortresses in the desert. Vayachzov Borod Rabin, and he dug many wells. By the way, dug many wells means that he built Hamovil Haartzi, the country's water carrier. You understand? He was not. What does this country need? What is the great raw material that the country needs? Needs aqueducts. What do you call them? What else do you call them? What did they say last week when it rained? It poured, and the downpours in the Aravar, the road to Eilat was closed.
The aquifers.
The aquifers, yep. So they say that tremendous amounts of water were lost
every year
because no one has built means of collecting the water in that part of the country. And in that downpour of an hour or two, there was a massive amount of water that was simply lost. Uziyahu, Azariyahu, is the one, Vayachzor Borot Rabin, he dug many wells. No, he dug many aqueducts that were going to hold water. Ki mikne rav hayolo, he had a lot of cattle, ubashvelo, ubamisho, not only in the Hare Yehuda, but along the coast. Ikorim, Korim, Behorim, Ubakarmel, he had farmers and tenders of vineyards in the mountains and the Carmel. And take a look, I don't think there is nobody else in Tanakh about whom it says what it says now about Uziyahu. Ki ohev adamahaya. He loved the land. He was a lover of land. I could see him tending his roses and his... he loved adamah. I mean, and all this is being said about him as a... this is in praise of Uziyahu. I mean, he has done tremendous things for the economy of Eretz Yisrael. And what we're really mentioning is all the major areas. The Shvelah and the Mishor is a major part of Eretz Yisrael. Yehuda, Borot Rabin. Vayihilu Uziyahu Chayil, Oseh Milchama. He had an army that did war, Yotzei Tzavol Gdud, B'mispar Pekudatam B'yad Yi'i El Asofer, U'ma'aseyu Yiseyohu Ashoteh, we're talking about a standing army. That's really what they're describing here. He had a standing army, people who went out to war in units, all counted, and we're told exactly who stood at the head of them, Yi'iel and Maaseyo, Kol Mispar, Rashei Ha'avot, the Gibarei Chayil, Alpayim, V'sheshmeot, officers, there were 2,600, Va'yodom, and under these officers, Chayil Tzavosh, 300,000 men, Vishivat Alafim V'chameshmeot, 307,500 men, Osei Milchama, Bekoach Chayil, with the strength of might, La'azor La'melech Al-Hoyeh, to help the king against the enemy. To have a standing army. I once quoted to you the words of the Rambam in a letter to the wise men of Marseille. This is a famous letter. The wise men of Marseille had sent the Rambam a very, very long communication in which they asked him about astrology. And they described everything that they knew about astrology. If somebody is born, if he's a Pisces, is a Heen, if he's a Hare, when he's born, what his life is going to be like. Is that, what does the Rambam hold about this? So the Rambam's unusual response, of course, is number one, that he has read everything extant in the world on the subject. That's, I'll say it again. He has read everything in the world that's extant at the time about it. This is a man who got up early in the morning, made his way from his suburban home outside Cairo, and he spends a whole day as doctor to the Sultan, comes home at 11 o'clock at night, and he describes when he comes home at 11 o'clock at night that the crowds of people are waiting to see him. And he lies on his bed and eats as just a little bit to happen the neshuma, and he sees all of his patients, and by 1 o'clock they're all gone. And what do you think? Then he says, then he begins to learn Torah. Alright. So the Rambam in this letter says that astrology is nonsense. And he says Jewish involvement with this kind of nonsense and things like it brought about the destruction of the Second Temple and our exile. What they should have done, they should have put all of their efforts and energies into teaching Jews how to fight. If they would have taught Jews how to fight, Rome would never have brought us down. What the Rambam means is that it was the responsibility of Jewish leadership to make sure that there was a standing army, that there was Gius Chovah. How did it work in those days? If there was an attack, so people got together and decided to go out and fight ward off the enemy. That's not the way it was supposed to be done. Bar Kokhba, you understand, is putting together an army 65 years after Churban Beit Sheni, after the destruction of the Second Temple. What they should have been doing is what Uzziah is doing. There has to be an army that's going to help the king against the enemy. Vayochem lehem Uzziah lechol hatzavah. Not only does he prepare an army, but he creates an industry of armaments. Vayochem lehem Uzziah lechol hatzavah. Uzziah prepared for the entire army. Maginim uremachim vekovaim veshiryonot ukishatot ulaavnei kalaim. He prepared for them shields, spears, helmets. Shiryonot are also another kind of
armor
or a shield, ukishatot, and bows. Ula avnei kalaim, and he prepared the catapults that shoot the shield rats. Vayaz b'Yerushalayim chishbonot machshevet choshev. It's not computers. Not. But most probably close to it. He made either works of art or implements of war that were ma'aseh choshev, the work of artisans. Some of the Farshim say that he created new kinds of weaponry to be used on the field of battle. And all of this is being listed as part of the greatness of Uzziahu. You can't be Matunis on a chicken. You can't sit around and permit Klal Yisrael open to the enemy. Lihiyot al hamigdalim v'al hapinot. And these things that were made by the artisans were on the towers and at the corners of the walls. That's the indication that it was lilo bachitzim. You know, some special way of shooting arrows. I mean, maybe it was a machine gun to shoot more than one arrow at one time, or a bunch of arrows. Ubavonim gedolot, and great big stones. Vayetze shmo ad lemeidachok. His name went far and wide. Ki hifli lehe azer ad ki chazak. Because he was marvelous. He was exceptional. He did unusual things to be strong until he became very strong. Not many kings is so much said about their accomplishments. This is Uzziah. Ukicheskaso govali poad lashvit. And as he grew strong, I mean, I don't think there's a way for the Navi to have said it any better than this. There was the, as he became strong, he became corrupted. The more he became strong, govali po, his heart grew high, ad lahashchis, until it destroyed him. Absolute power corrupts. Govalibo, that term, had been used earlier about Yehoshaphat. And if, I mean, I haven't really learned Divrei Hayom with you, but in Divrei Hayom in 17, Yud Zayin, if you want to look there for a minute, I think it's worth taking a look. Divayam Bet, Perek Yud Zayin, Sukim 5 and 6. Vayochen Hashem et Hamalotah v'yodo, God established the kingdom in his hands. This is Yehoshaphat. Vayitnu kol Yehuda minchol Yehoshaphat, all of Yehuda brought tribute to Yehoshaphat. Vayilo Oshev v'chavod l'rav. He had wealth and a great deal of honor. Vayig balibo b'darkei Hashem. The only person in Tanakh about whom it says this, Vayig Balibo, his heart grew high in the ways of God. And this, the Chovas Halvava says that this is being said as a compliment to him. There is Gavhut Lev that is destructive and evil, and there is Gavhut Lev which is great blessing. He was so pious, and he was so overwhelmed with his own piety, but it only brought him to be even more pious. Vayig balibo betarke Hashem. He became even more tzaddik than he had been before. Precisely. Different people react differently. There is the one who is upon whom God showers great blessing, and the great blessing becomes a source of curse for a person.
Here it says, "Vayikra libo b'darkei Hashem."
Right.
And here it says, "Vayikra libo ad la'ashem." Very different. One is heart went out with God. The other one.
I agree with you. So I'm saying that's exactly the point that we're making. That one can be gavar libo until it reaches the point that it destroys him, and then another person can be gavar libo ad la'ashem. In other words, if the bracha, as somebody told us recently, habracha mechayevet, right? Blessing, if you, it obligates you. In other words, one can receive blessing and feel like, listen, magiali, as kintna. What did you always say that Nechama Leibowitz Olah Hashalom said? Lo magia la af echad shum davar. I have just now heard word for word as it came from the mouth of Nechama Leibowitz. My wife, she went to a shir was once and heard that Hakadosh Baruch Hu lo natan le Moshe li kanes la aretz. The Mishnah didn't let Moshe go into Eretz Yisrael. Lo magia la shum adam la af echad shum davar. Lo magia. So that's the way it is. There are those who rise in greatness, and the greatness only, and the blessing that comes, it only becomes a springboard for even greater growth. And then there are those who, with the blessing, comes a sense of pride and conceit that ultimately destroys. Arrogance. I like the word arrogance. Vayim al Hashem Elokav. And here is it. This is he sinned against his God. Vayavo al Hechal Hashem, he came to the Beis Hamikdash. Lahaktir al Nizbah HaKetoret. This is his... You know what he wants to do? Not enough for him, the kohuna, the kingdom. He wants to act as a Kohen. What is it that on some level is motivating him? His great desire for God. His closeness to God. Now you're really going to get confused, and maybe this is exactly why, I have a feeling this is exactly why he is called Uziyahu in Divrei Hayamim, because at the same time, the Kohen Gadol is Azaryahu. What would we have done if Azaryahu, the king, would have come in, and Azaryahu, the Kohen, would have come toward him? V'imo Kohanim Hashem Shmonim B'nei Chayel. And standing together with Azariah the Kohen were 80 Kohanim, men of valor. It takes a great deal of guts to stand up to the king. Vayandu al Uziyahu HaMelech, and they stood over Uziyahu, or near Uziyahu. Vayandu, and they told him, Lo lecha Uziyahu, lahaktir l'Hashem. You know what's fascinating? They don't call him His Excellency, not the king. As he stands here before God, do you know what he is? He's Uziyahu. And especially when he is ready and prepared to do something that is prohibited to him, he is Uziyahu. So the Kohanim say to him, it's not for you, Uziyahu, lahaktir Hashem, to bring incense before God. Ki la Kohanim b'nei Aaron hamukudashim lahaktir. This is, can only be done by the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron, who have been designated by God to bring the Ketoret. Tzei min hamikdash. Out of the Mikdash. Out of the Beis Hamikdash, kima out of because you have sinned. V'lo lecho lekavod me'Hashem elokim. This is not going to bring honor to you from God. I mean, this is courageous. This is mamish courageous because remember, we're talking about a king who is mighty, a king who is powerful, a king who has done so much, and they stop him nearly dead in his tracks. By Yizak Uziyahu, Uziyahu became very angry. Give me a good word. Incense. That's great. That's very good. You don't know how good that was. That was excellent. That's very. Now what I'm wondering is, the English word incensed, what does it mean? Does it indeed come from the fact that incense is something that burns? Maybe the word is chaka related.
Yeah, that is from the Latin word.
It's from the Latin what?
Incendiary.
Well, incendiary, excellent. Like it took me 50 years till I figured out why the word sweater is sweater. I was once wearing my sweater and I started sweating recently. So I can understand why it's sweater, but what can I do with sweater? In his hand he's holding a pen with which to bring the Ketoret. You have to imagine the scene. The king is glaring at them with anger. They can all be one step away from death now. And at the moment of his great anger, the tzarat came shining out over his forehead. It uses the term zorcho for a number of reasons. Number one, the idea that it comes out, and also because tzarat is white. Tzarat of the Torah is white. Lifnei HaKohanim, in the presence of the Kohanim, Beveit Hashem, in the house of God, Be'al Mizbeach HaKetoret, as it's standing upon the altar of the Ketoret. Vayifin Elov Azaryahu Kohen Harosh, Azaryahu, the Kohen Harosh, the Kohen God turns to Mechol HaKohanim, and all of V'inei, they take a look and behold, I mean, we're talking about something terribly shocking has happened. A Metzora is Tomei. A Metzora cannot even be within the community. Certainly not in the Beis Hamikdash, on the Mizbeach. The Cholakot Vinehu Metzora V'Mitzko Vayav Hiluhu Misham. They hurried him out of there. Do you see the fall? How quick the fall of Azaryahu came? We're talking about minutes. The Gamhu Nitzchaf, let's say. He also, not only are they hustling him out and hurrying him out, he's hurrying, he's pushing himself out. King Nigar Hashem, because God had struck him. Vayhi Uziyoha Melech Mitzorah, Yom Roto Uziyoha Melech, was a Mitzorah until the day of his death. Vayeshev Beit HaChofshit Mitzorah, King Nigzar Mi Beit Hashem, he had been cut off from the house of God. Vayotam Benoah Beit HaMelech, Shofet at Amaritz, and Yotam, that his son was on in charge of the house of the king, he judged the people of the land. The rest of the story of Uziyahu was written by Yeshayahu ben Amoz Hanavi. Vayishkav Uziyahu Mavotam, Vayibro Otom Mavotam, Besindei HaKivurah Shel HaMalachim, Ki Omru Mitzorahu, Vayimlach Yotam Ben Otachtav. That means that they did not bury him together in the cave. They used to bury in caves, like we have over here, the Kivrei HaSanhedrin and others. They did not bury him together with others. Even in death, he was separated from the others because he was a Mitzorah Jehovah. We're talking 52 years a king. Tragedy, the tragedy of Uziyahu. I still don't feel that I have... why wasn't he healed? 25 years? Are we to assume that he didn't do tshuva? Don't believe that he didn't do tshuva. There's no question about it that Uziyahu did tshuva. I mean, if he's nidchav, if he wants out of the Beit HaMikdash because of the tzarat, is he, does he remain a Metzorah all of his life as a warning to all other kings of Yehuda? That's the only thing that I feel like. In other words, a king, you see, we small people, we make small mistakes. Small mistakes, no. So it passes. King makes a big mistake. And a king has to know that when he's going to make a big mistake, that big mistake is going to have a ripple effect for who knows how many generations to come.
Leman
Yishmu V'Yirov, But Malchus needs it more than anybody else. Because
the capability is great.
Because remember, in Malchus, what are the checks and balances on Malchus? So first of all, there's a difference between Malchus Yehuda and Malchus Yisrael. Malchus Yisrael, the kings of Israel, there were no checks and balances. The halacha was that Sanhedrin could not judge a king of Israel. The kings of Yehuda did have Sanhedrin. But then there's a moment that even at which Sanhedrin is no longer capable of telling the king of Yehuda what to do. So there's the great checker and balancer. That's what Uzziyahu was being taught. It's not only for him, it's for all generations to come. Everybody has to know their boundaries. Because the worst tragedy that can befall a people is when somebody moves, somebody in a position of leadership moves beyond the boundaries that are his. And I don't want to start, if I'm going to start giving you examples, you understand, you're going to think that I'm talking politics. But there are boundaries. Everybody has to have boundaries. I mean, if I was going to talk about it, I would attack Peres and Netanyahu in the same breath, so that you couldn't call me political. I would be even-handed and balanced. Two people who don't know their boundaries. Peres never knew, and doesn't know what Ayom Hazeh. Nobody gave him the authority to go a few days ago to Ramallah and say in the name of the Jewish people that, you know, we're behind the establishment of the Palestinian state. Who gave him that right? And when I publicly attacked Peres on the issue of Yerushalayim, I looked at like some kind of a sugar. Netanyahu also does not know his boundaries. He thinks that because he was directly elected, therefore he can do whatever he wants, he can appoint whom he wants, who mashpil, who made him, who made this, who mechaya, he doesn't know that. Everybody has to know their limitations. Azariyahu, Uzziyahu had to learn his limitations. Do you know, if you want a picture of what Uzziyahu is, the closest that I can give you is Nadav Avihu. Nadav Avihu, because I believe that he comes into the Beis HaMikdash. Uzziyahu comes into the Beis HaMikdash to bring Ketoret. He wants to do it out of a real sense of piety, of closeness to God. He's not coming in there in order to show Kohanim who the boss is. He means it.
How do you know he means it?
But what does he want to do?
What does he want to do? Oh, Taylor! She's absolutely right. I mean, would it occur to us? Would it occur to us? I want to bring Ketoret. I want to bring Ketoret. He sees bringing Ketoret as a way of coming closer to God. And the king, Rashi describes the king in the Sechta Hurrius, Rashi describes the king, Mi She'ein al Gabov Ela Hashem al Kav, the only one who stands above him is God. That means he is also the closest to God. If he's the closest to God, there's always the possibility that he's going to just pass over that red line and in a sense make the rules for himself. That's what Uzziyahu is doing. Can't do that. Everybody has limitations upon them. And the courage of the Kohanim over here is tremendous. But that's it. That's the danger. Big people make big mistakes. And if they make big mistakes, then their punishment has to be one from which generations are going to learn. Okay. Do you know that we learned the whole chapter in Divrei Hayyam today? And we learned... Now, who is it that isn't here? Okay.